as a human being are beautiful and perfect, even with your chocolate.
If you love Crocs, you are from the bottom of a dumpster barrel. And it's not cute, and it's not funny, and it's not ironic. It's just dumb, and it's rubber that's going to be here until the planet turns into an uninhabitable heat planet.
Disturbing the peace for some peace of mind. Sleeping in jeans, I'ma need a knife. OD on the cheap advice. OC on the cheapest flight. Lately I've been on the move trying to get to something. But I told her I've been running just to see the sights.
Welcome back to Friends with Benedicts. We're still in Barcelona.
Yeah, we have only been here for a couple days.
3 weeks.
To you it's going to seem like we live here now.
Yeah, 3 weeks in Barcelona. It's been crazy.
Yeah, I learned a lot
of
Spanish.
Here now.
I already told you this story, but we were at MACBA, which is this epic skate spot. There's this guy trying to land a trick over and over and over, and I was watching him, and he knew I was watching him. And at one point, he kind of skated by me, and since I'm so Spanish now, I said, "El sol caliente, loco." So
that's so perfect.
Pretty much locals at this point.
Yeah,
because it was really hot out. So that was.
If we would have actually been here for 3 weeks, then you for sure would be local. But unfortunately, it's only been 3 days.
Yeah. So.
But how has time in Barcelona been? I feel like it wouldn't hurt to do a little brief.
Yeah.
Share
briefly.
On how time in Barcelona has been.
It's been too hot. It's been way too hot.
Yeah.
I understand why people do the siesta thing here, because from 3 to 5, you just can't do anything. It's so hot.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in a video game and you have a health bar, and as soon as you walk outside, your health bar just starts going, fast.
Oh, whoa. It's exactly like that. Yeah. And it just sucks the life out of you so fast. Like, even just running an errand feels like the biggest task.
Yeah, you're like, okay,
so then
I'm
when you get home,
sit down for a while.
You're like, I gotta take a nap.
Yeah, so we're gonna be doing touristy stuff tonight, but we haven't done much of it up until this point. Kind of just been getting food and then taking naps. It's been rough.
Yeah, for sure. Can I tell the toast story?
Yeah, you can.
This probably isn't even that good of a story, but for some reason I love it, because we go to this breakfast place called Toastmaker, and I mean, both of us know enough Spanish to like squeak by.
Yeah, both of us do. Me and Jake. See.
And somehow we're at this toast place, and We're just talking in English because our server speaks English. But then Schaefer goes to order his toast, which is an avocado toast. So he says, "I'll have this avocado toast." And she goes, "One or two?" So Schaefer obviously interprets that to mean two pieces of toast. So he goes, two. And then so it gets to me and she says, "And what do you want?" And I pick my toast and I say, "Also two." And she looks at me and she goes, "Two, dos." And I was like, yeah, dos, toasts.
Because I thought it was going to be like a cut in half slice of toast or something, where it was like,
yeah,
if you only got one, you're only going to get half
right.
the toast.
So. And because they're only like €5
yeah.
on the menu. So I was like, oh, okay, it must be €5 for one piece of toast. I could go for two pieces of toast. Well, this lady comes out. Well, first she just comes out with two pieces of toast for me and two for Schaefer. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. And then she walks away. And then she comes back with two more plates of two pieces of toast each. So our table is just completely covered with giant plates of toast.
And it was the biggest slice ever.
Yeah.
They were piled super high, and they're like the size
of
a
toppings.
Dinner plate.
Yeah. Eggs, spices,
yeah. So
tomatoes,
we'll put
all
this
over.
Epic photo in of both of us sitting there with one eaten plate of toast and one to go still.
Yeah. We just looked like the completely gluttonous Americans with four entire breakfasts on our table.
She was super deadpan until she walked by at one point, and we looked super full after round one of toast, and she just goes, "Hey, hey, hey."
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she would never show any emotion except for when she laughed at us having four plates of toast.
So, yeah, that's the toast story.
Yep, that's how we got dosed toasts.
And then we went and saw Barbie.
And then we saw Barbie. Yeah, which I think we'll basically just talk for most of the podcast about. Because, I mean, we haven't had a ton to do, which has been great. We've just been chilling, walking around, eating food and coffee and fingerboarding. But last night we decided to schedule a big event and go see Barbie. But the best part about it was that we saw Barbie and then we left the theater and we were like, we can't say a word about this to each other because we wanted to save it for the podcast.
Yeah, so that was the weirdest thing. Walking out of a movie theater and just being like,
say nothing. It was, yeah, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
It was hard.
And I was like trying to think of something different to talk about and I could not think about
anything. I know, anything. We just walked home in silence because both of us were trying to think of something else to talk about.
Yeah, it was like so silent that it started being like, oh, maybe Shaver's mad at me.
Really?
It was, I mean, not actually, but it was like that silent, you know? It was like that level of silence where it was like,
yeah,
we hate each other because we're not saying a word.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it was a good, it was a good time. It was a good experience. Last time we went to a movie theater in another country, it said English and it wasn't. So we just had
to leave. Yeah.
But this time it was in English, which
was
great.
A big win.
And the other thing that's great is by the time that you're hearing this, everyone has already said everything about Barbie up until this point. We're so late now.
Yeah.
This is coming out 3 weeks from now.
I know. Yeah. That is completely on brand for us. It's good, though. We actually planned it this way.
Right.
We planned it so that everyone had plenty of time to see Barbie. You don't have to worry about spoilers because you've already seen it now. But obviously, there will be spoilers. But that's okay because you've already seen it. We planned it like this.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yes. Initially going into the movie, one thing I thought is how much of a trip would it be to be either Ryan Gosling or... The other one. Why can't I remember? Margot Robbie. And just be like, just the main characters of the whole world for the last two
months.
No
kidding. Imagine being cast as Barbie and Ken.
Yeah.
That's just like, congratulations. We have selected you as the stereotypical definition of perfection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And like any country you go to in the world,
yeah,
there are people dressing up in pink to go watch dance around like Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite the life. Also, my other... Well, no. You give me your first.
Oh, my initial thought going into the movie was, am I seriously going to order this 1 gallon cup of Coke Zero when I've already had 2 Coke Zeros today?
Jake and I have been on a Coke Zero.
We've become Coke Zero fiends.
Out of nowhere.
Dude, neither of us drink soda at all. Like, just sparkling water.
Yeah.
Never get Cokes, Pops, nothing. And we've just been on a bender this
it's
week.
Been actually so good.
Yeah, restaurants,
I don't know why.
Coke. Grocery store, Coke.
Movie
sitting
theater,
around
massive
yeah.
gallon, and I was like, no way I'm gonna finish it. And I finished it quick.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie I was just like, I gotta go to the bathroom so bad. But we got through it.
Yeah. So that was my initial thought.
Yeah.
So thank God for a movie that's not 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Because
oh
you can drink
God.
A giant Coke and not have to pee.
I had that thought. I was like, I'll be able to get through it now.
Yeah.
Another 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sick of 3 hour movies.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a nice change.
Yep. Yep. And then the other thing I was wondering going into it, because it's the Barbie movie and it's a movie made by Mattel, I was like, I wonder how bad the product placement is going to be in this movie. And it was bad, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm buying a Chevy car in Birkenstocks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I feel like later on we're going to have to talk about a whole side shoot of that, but... Yeah, that's true.
It was noticeable like right away. It was like even in Barbie Land, they had like name brands. That's so wild.
Yeah, that's a weird random offshoot also that we don't need to go into. But it's so weird how strict the laws are on like internet stuff that you have to disclose when you're advertising.
Yeah.
But then, in movie world, like Chevy must have paid so much money for that.
Dude, that my favorite product ad, but you probably know exactly the moment I'm talking about, but when they're at the car chase, and she's like, I gotta lose these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Pops it into eco mode and like blasts away.
Yeah. Also, were those car scenes just like 100% CGI?
I'm not sure.
Because they looked to me like 100% CGI, which I guess is kind of one of the takes I had that I don't know if we're ready to dive into takes or not.
Oh, sure. Why not? But what else are we going to do?
Yeah. But like, it was nice. Well, I'm curious to hear your take, because when we were talking about Oppenheimer, I mentioned how my brain will just suspend all reality for any movie ever.
Yeah.
I have no problem escaping into movie world and just enjoying the story. But this one in particular was just like so absurd that it was like, don't even bother trying to escape into movie world. We're just going to make this like so absurd that you don't have to worry about plot holes or inconsistencies.
It definitely
or
felt
anything.
Like a spectacle of budget.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And yeah, I mean, beyond that, it was just like, it was like, we don't care to make sure you're immersed in this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so eye-catching and absurd that like you're going to have a good time regardless.
Yeah, 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 totally.
So with that kind of being the premise, I felt like the car scenes were just completely CGI and they're like, this doesn't matter. We don't need to waste a bunch of money on wrecking cars. We'll just CGI it because the whole movie is completely suspended from reality anyway.
Also, just as far as plot is concerned, like, there wasn't a whole ton of motivation for that car chase. It really felt like they were just like, Chevy is sponsoring this movie. They need to show that it has like cool suspension and goes into eco mode. I guess we'll just do a car chase. That's totally how it felt.
Oh my gosh.
Like when they're like, Barbie, get in. And there's just like no discernible reason for it. And like, I like how there is that whole like, the evil Mattel Corporation wanted to put Barbie in a box like for a bit, and that was like their whole motivation, and then she was kind of like, nah, and then they just kind of bailed. They were like, well, I don't know, it was kind of like a lot. Well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel like I watched two movies. It was like two movies in one, but one of the two movies, I feel like the perfect word for it is just clunky. It felt so clunky.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you feel that way at all?
I think I definitely know what you're saying by clunky, and I would say yes, I felt that way, and I would say I loved the clunkiness of it. Like, to me, I think that was one of the most endearing things, which, I mean, I may as well start with an overall review. I loved it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
I loved that movie. And when the trailer first came out, I was like, I have no reason to be interested in this movie, but that is going to be good. So, I already had really high expectations for it, and I expected it to be really self-aware and sarcastic and playing into the idea that Barbie is this unrealistic expectation. My point is, I had high expectations, which usually can ruin a movie for me, but I loved it.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, the clunkiness aspect I loved too. Like, like there's a couple things that were just so unexpected and like threw you off a little bit. Like when Weird Barbie. When Weird Barbie showed up and they would just like flash a shot of the toy Barbie and play a horror sound or whatever. Like, it didn't need to be there at all, but I liked stuff like that.
Yeah.
That
was less like, I felt like that stuff was kind of just, like, I guess you could use the word clunky for that stuff too, but that was more just like the flavor or the spice. I felt like the clunkiness was just like, first off, everyone going into this movie was talking about how it was anti-men or whatever, and it was not at all. Like,
Yeah.
People really do. I feel like people really broadly do not have a taste for satire at all.
I wanted to camp on that point for a minute because I heard, like, you know, rumblings of that before going into this, this idea of like, oh no, is it like, is it really empowering if you have to put someone else, if you have to put men down to empower women, is it really empowering and all this stuff like that? And like, yeah, it's just a men bashing movie. So going into it, I was like, man, I'm like, I wonder what they did. And dude, to think that that movie is like bashing men, you have to be so wildly insecure.
Yeah, exactly.
And like so fragile. You have to have the most fragile ego of all time.
Yeah,
it's to so think true. That movie's bashing.
Dude, if anything,
men.
I felt totally the opposite. Yeah, I felt like it was. I felt like it was like for everyone. Like
totally.
The sentiment at the end, just being like, you're not just your hobbies and your interests.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, dang, so many people really, honestly, could get a lot out of that message.
Yeah. Dude, I know. I thought it was going to be like, I thought it was going to be like, this movie is for women. And obviously men will have takeaways from that, but it's for women. Mm-hmm. And that even wasn't the case. Cause yeah, like even as a man watching it, the takeaways for a man's experience were beautiful too. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was awesome.
And also just the satirical outlook of Ken experiencing the real world and how men like run the whole thing and his excitement about it. It was just like, it was just funny and fun, you know?
Yeah, like the poking fun at men were like endearing.
Yeah.
Like the jokes about horses, dude.
Yeah, it was so
and
great.
Like cars and stuff. It was so funny because, yeah, it's just like, it's the type of laughing where it's good to laugh at yourself because it's just like silly and.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was a real opportunity. Yeah, to laugh at yourself, which I think a lot of people have a hard time with. I mean, satire in general requires that. Mm, so
yeah.
So that I really liked. I think the clunkiness came in for me in the sense that it never could decide if it was trying to be more committed to the messaging or more committed to the story.
Mm,
and they got in the way of each other a lot. Like I think like a lot of the. And again, like I said, the messaging I felt like was really fun and I didn't have any real problems with it. I just felt like the execution was it was bouncing all over the place. And some of the lines that were written in were just pretty cringe.
For sure.
There were jokes in there that were just like, oh, like all the fourth wall breaking stuff to me is just never funny. It's never, ever, ever funny.
That was my... by far the biggest strike against the movie was when they do, when they say like filmmakers know, like they call out Margot Robbie for being too perfect, even though the point they were trying to make was that no one's perfect.
That's the clunkiness I'm talking about.
That was bad.
Very confused with itself a lot of the time.
I see what you mean for sure. Cause it also felt similar where it was like, okay, you know, Mattel has a hand in this movie, obviously a big hand in funding, and but there it was like they were trying to be self-aware and making fun of themselves but also advertising for themselves, and you could feel
and
that
like the Barbie perfection complex thing is bad but they're still gonna sell it, and like, it's just this weird, like it felt like they're trying to justify selling this doll while also including everybody and making fun of themselves, but not ever knowing how to do it or like where they were going to land with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And and even to the point of the structure of the world they built, where it's like you go into the real world and people don't know there's a Barbie land, but then they say, oh, you're Barbie.
Yeah. They just quickly accept.
Yeah.
That
they
she's
so
Barbie.
Quickly
yeah.
accept it. And I know it's like, again, it's a suspension of disbelief. It's a movie. It's not like they have to explain it all perfectly, but it felt clunky in the sense that it's just like, even the writers had no idea if Barbie Land was real or not, or like, and then they had the thing where there was like a map and it looked like it was a country. It was just like, so it was right at the beginning. And I've heard a bunch of controversy, people saying it's like Chinese propaganda somehow.
Oh, I remember
Barbie
hearing
it's on the
map at the beginning,
which I don't know anything about that. But I don't know. It was just like, It felt like they were wrestling so hard with the concept the whole time through the movie. And then there was the thing at the end where she has the opportunity to, like, become human. And it's like, where did that come? Yeah. Where did that come from?
It was almost like they had so many ideas that were actually really good ideas.
Exactly.
But there were so many of them that they were all getting thrown at you that you got the Oppenheimer effect where you're just going,
And
there's so many potential good stories.
Ultimately, what you said was right. You could have just ignored all of that and just had fun.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like it was hard because I was like, "Where are we going here? What is actually the plot of this movie?"
Yeah, I know, because like, I want to say that the human part, the opportunity for her to become human. God damn, that was beautiful. Like that little bit could have been a movie on its own, just addressing that theme, and would have been so beautiful. And it was beautiful anyway. Like, I'll always be such a sucker for that.
It was so
theme.
Funny when I was sitting there, I was like, Jake is eating this.
Yeah. dude, that theme I'm just such a sucker for, where like people, characters, whatever, like, choose humanity despite knowing that it's the harder choice, choosing not to numb yourself or to avoid the difficulties. Like, yeah, I'm such a sucker for that theme. And then also having Billie Eilish's song playing with memories of childhood and stuff.
Dude,
that's
just
all,
like,
my soft spots.
I was like, of course the best part of this movie is the dad cam footage B-roll sequence.
I know, right? Seriously.
But yeah, like, again, another example of the clunkiness is you could have taken a lot of different of those, like, of those diversions they made throughout the movie. You could have trimmed so many of those off and had that moment be so much more powerful
amplified
than this random last bit that they're like, maybe we should have her become human at the end. And then they're like, okay, let's make a dad cam B-roll sequence to land it.
Yeah.
Because the buildup, it just didn't feel like there was any real buildup to that moment, but it still was great, you know? But it
It
could have been incredible, but because it was so confused with itself, I just felt like it lost a lot of power. In fact, I liked it, but there was also a part of me that was just like, of course they smashed this into.
Yeah.
Like, they had the dance number with Ken. They, you know, they had.
Which I loved.
Yeah, all which was amazing.
The, like, I'm just Ken
musical. Yeah, which was epic. They had Will Ferrell on roller skates with his cronies, which is, again, awesome. But none of it fits together. It's
all these epic things
that are next to each other, but none of them connect.
It's just a collage of, like,
it was a collage.
Like a super ADHD collage of so many great ideas and moments. That's a good point. Yeah, which, speaking of that, is also why the ending felt really off. Because, again, obvious spoiler, the end of the movie is her saying, like, I'm going to see my gynecologist, which is just to, again, land the point that she's a human now and not a Barbie. But even that was like, wait, why did they end it like that? And then you're like, oh, okay, I guess the main theme was her becoming human, but it actually wasn't really the main theme of the whole movie.
Yeah. You know, I think that was I think that was to, like, celebrate the humanity and the womanhood and the, you know, like the glory of all parts of it.
Yeah.
Of the experience. But yeah, again, it was just like, if you wanted to go down that funnel, that's great. It was super clunky, though, to put it after that human sequence.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I just wish it was more decisive about what it wanted to say, instead of just saying, like, everything all at once.
Yeah.
And then as far as the plot's concerned, too, I wish it was just, like, they could have narrowed it down a little bit to, like, one cohesive thing, instead of having everyone in the writer's room get their way.
Yeah. I also, I kind of have a large or a big diversion that I kind of want to go down quickly.
Okay.
And then I'll return.
Okay.
But I just... In general, I don't know if I like the, like, gotcha ending in general, mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. that archetype. I don't know if I like the gotcha ending, and I kind of want to just tell an anecdote in parallel to it, because okay. we've been talking about the Murdaugh murders, and I'm assuming you haven't watched them yet.
No.
But I kind of really want to spoil the ending because it has nothing to do with the rest of the series, but the way they ended it is so absurd.
Okay.
Do you care if I spoil it? Okay, because it's kind of related. It's like the Murdaugh murders is this whole documentary about the crazy chain of events and murders, etc. And the way they end this 3-episode docuseries is with a phone call to the guy in prison, and he says, "Wait a second. Some guys in here were talking. Are they making a Netflix doc about this?" And then the movie ends like that. Like, it literally just ends with him saying, "Are they making a Netflix doc about this?" And it was the most, like, self-important
thing. Course, yeah.
That was just, like, a gotcha that was unrelated. So, anyway.
Yeah.
My point was, that was kind of how I felt about the ending. That was just, like, just felt like a gotcha that didn't feel super related or
dude, that was necessary. That was so much of the movie was all of these buildups that could have been amazing, and I feel like they kind of landed on good. It was all good, you know what I mean? The crescendo built, and then it was a good payoff. When one or two great payoffs would have felt so much more satisfying, I think, than. But the best payoff of the entire thing, which, okay, man, it was the greatest moment for me. But again, the buildup was so clunky. It was when Ken goes down the slide and goes, "I'm just Ken."
Dude.
That was amazing. But again, it was like the buildup to that moment is like a 2-minute thing. Where he's trying to come to terms with Barbie and what she thinks and what she feels. And then she just explains it to him and he just accepts it. And then that's that. And it's like, that could have happened at the very beginning of the movie. That same conversation supposedly could have. It was super weird.
Yeah.
But I did love that shot.
Yeah, that was great. And it's like, for me, all of this is. This is like the most nitpicky you could ever be, purely because if you zoom out, it's a PG-13 movie about Barbie, you know, which it obviously wasn't. It's not trying to be like Godfather,
right? Yeah,
or something like it's not supposed to be this like. Work of film masterpiece. I think overall it seemed pretty clear to me that the goal was to be like a fun, good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it landed that massively.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I disagree with that. I think it was really? Trying to be a fun, good time and also have a big message.
Yeah. 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 I agree with
and
you. Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do anyway, but I don't think it did the latter as like I don't know if it did either of them super great. It did both of them well, though, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and together it made it like really fun, but I don't know, clunky is just the best word I have for it.
I think it was
enjoyable,
like,
and clunky.
Yeah, enjoyable and clunky.
I'm not trying to say it was bad or by any stretcher, but
no, I know, to me it felt like a like a trip through a children's museum where you like walk and you look at some fun, colorful things. And then there's a little plaque with some nice life lesson. And then you walk through some more fun, colorful things.
That's a pretty good way.
And there's another plaque
with
a little
good.
Life lesson. And
that's pretty
cause good. There's like, there's all these mini nuggets and things that made me just like reflect on life. Or have a real thought, but it was definitely just like a bunch of little nuggets rather than one giant drive this point home thing.
Yeah, which not that these two things can or should be compared, but that's kind of how Bo is Afraid was too, a little bit. It was just that, but in a way more horrible, yeah, disturbing way. It was like the not fun version of that.
I actually was also thinking, who did the Journey Across the World scene better, Beau's Afraid or Barbie?
Oh, they're so different.
I know.
They're so different.
They're so different.
Well, one of them but doesn't kind of have similar. Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie.
True. Yeah.
That was another thing. Like, even though that filmmaker's note part was so tacky and unfunny, it also was, you didn't even have to put it in for that alone to be funny. It's like, you're going to make this whole thing about how you're good no matter who you are, and then cast
yeah,
the two cast. Most beautiful people on the planet.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Dude, yeah. I don't know. I will never, like, now, if I ever need to just laugh, mm-hmm, I just got to picture Will Ferrell and 12 cronies in suits riding a giant tandem bike.
That was amazing. That was so amazing.
Across the ocean.
Oh, the other thing that, again, it's one of those thoughts where once you have that thought, it was kind of hard to separate. I was just like, this is just a remake of the Lego Movie.
Oh,
this is exactly the Lego Movie.
Oh yeah,
like,
I'm normal and that's okay.
Yeah, and then yeah, he's a Lego and he goes to the real world, and Will Ferrell is the boss at the at the top of the big skyscraper. It was the same exact movie.
Wow, that's true. I didn't even, is Lego Mattel?
I don't know. Oh, is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I was just kind of laughing. I was like, they cast Will Ferrell as the same
exact
guy. That's
so funny. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. Like the same corporate overlord character.
Yeah. And I mean, I hate to say it, but the Lego Movie did it a lot better, or a lot less clunky, I feel like. Like the Lego Movie, when I came out of the Lego Movie, I was like, I did not expect that to be that great. And that's one of the best animated movies, I feel like. It's so good.
Yeah, that is a really good movie.
I never felt like the Lego Movie was clunky, and it was every bit as like hectic and all over the place.
Mm, yeah. But yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I do remember also loving that movie.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It was good. I feel like out of Bo is Afraid, Oppenheimer, and Barbie, I had the most fun in Barbie for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bo is Afraid or Oppenheimer are really about having fun.
Good point.
So,
a movie about the nuclear bomb.
Yeah, and a movie about like severe mental illness.
Yeah. I know.
Can you believe it?
Not quite comparable, but man.
Which, of course, is why the Barbenheimer thing is so fun. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about Barbenheimer so late.
I know. God. Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that's why it's all an uphill battle anyway, because you just can't compare those two movies. They're completely different.
Yeah, totally. Which is, it's like, I mean, just has to be the reason it became a meme. Like, if it was two similar movies,
yeah,
it wouldn't have worked as well.
Well, that's also why it's so funny, because people are like in the comments of posts trying to argue for one or the other, and it's just like,
yeah,
you're not gonna win. No, that's not the point.
Yeah, you need something like, remember when Prestige and some other movie about magicians
both came out at the exact same time? I do remember that. I was Team Prestige.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the two movies were, and I just remember basically one of them lost, and it was not the Prestige, because the Prestige was awesome. So, yeah, thankfully it wasn't that, because when that happens, one of them just disappears into oblivion.
Yeah, for sure.
And, yeah.
Well, I do know now, this is the beginning of the Mattel era, the new MCU.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of new movies planned.
Yeah, I want to talk about that for sure, because, well, before we talk about that, I forgot two other things I wrote down. Did you realize John Cena was the mermaid, or was one of the mermaids?
Oh, the second mermaid, the man-made.
He's the merman, yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
huh.
I did not realize John Cena was in that movie, okay, so shout out John Cena. That's
fun.
And Since you're Birkin boy.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to know what you thought of red pill, blue pill Birkenstocks.
Well, I did think again, I was purposefully going into the movie gonna count out all of the product placement things.
Yeah.
And I fully approve of Birkenstock being representative of the human experience.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if you were ever going to, you couldn't have picked a better shoe for that.
Yeah.
So that was some of the most successful product. The Chevy stuff felt tacky. The Birkenstock thing, I was like, all right,
dude,
that gets a pass.
And now that we're saying that, like, how does that come to be? Does Barbie have that scene written and be like, we need to reach out to all shoe companies and have them bid for this placement? Or
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah,
because it was such a
you couldn't have put any other shoe in there. Yeah,
yeah, like such a brilliant ad that, like, yeah, if you choose the Birkenstock, like, you're going on adventures and being human and like seeing the real stuff. Yeah, like I don't understand how something like that gets written and sold as an ad and plays that well into the plot, whereas the other ads was just like, put this baby in eco mode.
Yeah, whatever. I think it might have been at Magical Little Happenstance where maybe it was like written and then Birkenstock was down, and I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll never know. But man, I'm such a weenie for Birkenstocks. There's so few things. Now I'm going to go on a whole Birkenstock.
Here we go. Buckle up, people.
There's so few things that are designed as well as Birkenstocks. They last forever. They're so comfortable. They have so much character. They have all flavors for all different kinds of people.
Man,
they're great.
Can we do a fun side segment?
I would love to.
Okay. This segment is called... This actually isn't a segment at all. I really want to hear... We've had some disagreements in the past.
Oh, no.
Over expensive quality products.
Yes.
I won't mention any brands, but we've had some disagreements.
Feel the breeze.
But I want to know your opinion on the difference between Birkenstocks and Crocs, because I don't wear either, but I have pretty strong feelings about which I think is cooler than the other.
Well, you're gonna make me call someone out here. And Crocs are popular.
Wow, yeah, I'm really setting you up, aren't I? Okay.
Well, you did it, Jake. Okay. You found something I'm opinionated about.
All right.
I think the Crocs trend is the stupidest. It's the dumbest, stupidest thing ever, dude. It is so... It's fourth wall funny. Like, putting your stupid, like, pins on your Crocs, it's just so unbelievably dumb. Like the pin, you know, they have those like custom pins.
Oh, did I say Crocs?
Yeah, you said Crocs.
Oh, okay. I will let you continue.
No, get me out of here. I don't want to talk about Crocs.
No,
so
please,
many people
carry
like Crocs
on. Wow, that was a fun little adventure. Shoot, are you sure you don't want to rant on Crocs anymore before I correct myself?
You were going to say Chacos.
I meant to say Chacos and Crocs came out, but what I meant was Chacos versus Birkenstocks.
So where do you want me to go? Do you want to go?
I guess I don't want to go anywhere other than I don't wear Chacos. I don't wear Birkenstocks. But to me, Birkenstocks are just so much cooler than Chacos.
I know.
And I don't know
so
why.
They're so much less functional, too.
Really?
Well,
yeah,
like
that's true.
Chacos
like strap up.
It can
be
a
full
good shred and everything.
Yeah.
But
God, they look so bad.
They look
horrible. Oh. And people in Colorado, I hope this isn't everywhere. I really hope this isn't everywhere. But in Colorado in particular, people are so proud to have a stripy tan on their foot that shows that they wear Chacos a lot, which is the dumbest thing in the world. I'm sorry if you love this. If you love it, that's okay. And I love you and you can keep loving it. But it's so dumb to be proud of a stripy sandal tan because you wear sandals outside so much that you're a cool outdoorsy person.
You feel the same way about Chacos that I do about Crocs.
Damn it. Somehow you bait and switched me into ranting about Chacos when I should have just let you go on Crocs.
Dude, your question initially was to give you permission to talk about how much you don't like Chacos.
I guess so. I guess I just needed to get that out of my system.
Yeah, yeah. The thing with Chacos is I completely agree with your stance. But the problem is they're so utilitarian.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
So it's like, gosh, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
If you're gonna do the comparison between that and like the Arc'teryx conversation we were having earlier, they get such a leg up on Arc'teryx because there's a very like definitive function that you can be like, well, no other shoe really can do this. Or, you know, other sandals can,
yeah.
But sandals as a whole. So it's like that's so hard for me because it's like they are super helpful, especially if you're like a rafter or whatever. So there's that. But
yeah,
if I had to spend the rest of my life in the same pair of Birkenstocks or the same pair of Chacos, I would pick the Birkenstocks instantly.
Yeah. And I think what I was thinking about when I first brought up the question was the difference in long-term wear.
Mm-hmm.
Where old Chacos are disgusting.
Yeah.
They last a long time for sure. But they're just like gross. Whereas Birkenstocks tend to look better and
better. They get better.
Better
and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how. That's what I mean by I am such a fan of Birkenstock. They made one of the few things that I consider to be a perfect product.
Yeah.
They're so
sick. And
why don't you wear them? This sounds very like consumerist. Why don't you have this?
Why
thing?
Don't you have Birkenstock?
Why don't you wear this product?
I've never really been a big sandal guy at all,
yeah.
Other than just around my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Honestly, now that you have those that don't look like pilgrim buckle ones,
yeah.
Like that was part of it. I never loved the pilgrim buckle look,
yeah.
But those, I saw those and I was like, oh, those actually look sick. So I don't know. Maybe there's a pair in my future.
Dude. Yeah, and but, you'll join the club too because one of our other coworkers just got a sick pair of black ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably get some.
I had a pair before these ones that were the pilgrim buckle ones, and I don't like the pilgrim buckles either. But I was so intrigued by the like molding, how it becomes your foot, you know? And everyone's like, they're so comfortable. And so I committed to a pair, and it's so hard to talk yourself out of it after that. Once they become like your Birkenstocks, and anyone else can put them on, and they feel horrible, but to you, they're it's just awesome.
Oh, that's
it's
nice.
It's just awesome.
Yeah.
So
I think
it worked, Barbie.
I think also. So yeah, Birkenstocks. I would get a pair, and have had really no reason not to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Chacos, I never had a pair, and maybe would have eventually thought, oh, that would be good for this hike,
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
But because people were so proud of the horrible looking tan,
yeah.
It turned me off to it. So I think if people were just more so saying, man, Chacos are so useful and functional, it just sucks that it gives you this horrible tan line, but they're great.
Yeah.
Then I'd be more on board.
That's a good point.
But
the other thing is there's other sandals.
Yeah, there are other sandals. That's true.
Just like there's always another job. And there's always another girl.
And there's always another planet. Oh, wait. There's just one.
And we're blowing it.
How did I? Oh, yeah. Birkenstocks.
Right.
We were just about to go into Mattel, but I didn't want to miss the Birkenstock.
The Birkenstock.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Mattel is about to make a universe of movies.
I'm most excited for the Barbie. I'm most excited for the Barbie movie.
I like Bobbies.
I like the Bobby movie. They probably will come out with a second one. I feel like
probably.
The IP is already too big.
Yeah. What do you think about Mattel making movies? Are you excited for any? Do you think it's a terrible idea?
Dude, you already know the answer. Everyone feels the same about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, great, they found another thing to recycle. That's
yeah.
How everyone feels about it.
Yes, I agree. And I think I actually have just a couple qualifiers.
Okay.
Have you heard of some of the movies that they're doing?
Well, I was going to say I'm kind of pumped for the Barney movie because it's an A24 movie.
Oh, okay.
I think.
See, that's why that's why I'm not completely throwing this out yet.
Yeah.
I think
they're going to be great movies. Like, I think it's going to be a lot more engaging for me than the superhero thing, because the superhero thing is just like put the same guy in a different colored suit and give him some other thing, and it's the same movie over and over.
Right.
This one's a little fun because they're pretty isolated characters to their own universe, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I think some of the ones on this list could open up the opportunity for a really cool movie. All right,
like, hit me with the list.
Yeah, there's some pretty obvious ones. Like you mentioned Barney, which that one, yeah, seems different and could be sick because it's A24. But there's some obvious ones.
Don't quote me on that. I think it's A24.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to me, those seem obvious. Like a Barney movie, American Girl movie, Hot Wheels, Thomas the Tank Engine, Polly Pocket. But the type of movies that I think could actually be really sick is they're thinking a Magic 8 Ball movie, a Uno movie, and a Viewmaster movie. Like, because the Magic 8 Ball movie is supposedly going to be a horror movie. The Uno movie is potentially an action heist comedy, potentially featuring Lil Yachty. And I don't know what the Viewmaster movie is going to be about.
Lil Yachty. Why would you bring him back?
My point
wasn't
is,
he in jail? Or
no.
Am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of 6ix9ine.
Yeah, you're thinking of 6ix9ine. Yeah, Lil Yachty's way. I don't know anything about Lil Yachty, but he's way better than 6ix9ine.
Okay.
Which is not a hard bar to beat.
Yeah.
But my point of all of that is, I think sometimes like a great idea can just come from this like this spark baseline that doesn't actually have anything to do with the movie.
Sure.
But it just takes like a good kind of baseline starting point, like The Box. Like, you've got to draw the box around the movie you're going to make to then start really going crazy.
Yeah.
So, potentially, they could do something cool with Uno, Magic 8 Ball.
I mean, I'm not going to tell anyone to not make these movies. You know, it's I'm glad there are going to be more fun movies, and hopefully they'll be good. Sure. But I think the thing that people are frustrated about has nothing to do with the fact that they're going to be good, fun movies. I think it's more just the fact that everything has to be a nostalgia recycle.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels very markety. It feels very commercial, and it doesn't, it's, I mean, now we're going to go back into the whole A24 thing, but it's less about the actual IP and just how the whole thing feels. And the whole thing feels very consumerist based. It feels very preying off of memories. And I don't know. It's just, some things are better left alone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll do a good job, and I'm sure there'll be some bangers, and there'll be some that kind of flop. But it's going to be like the beginning of any franchise too, like Shrek. Like, the first and second Shrek were so good, and now they're going to make another one. And no way I'm going to see the new Shrek. They're making a fifth Toy Story.
Man.
I totally don't care about Toy Story anymore.
Yeah.
It's like they're just
yeah, and Shrek especially, there is just so clearly capitalizing on the fact that it's become a meme again.
Yeah.
So that definitely feels just super lame and gross.
It's just like, when can you just let something be good? You know, when can my memories of something that was fun back then just stay?
Man. Yeah.
You can't, because you can still make money off of it, which is why it just feels like this money move.
It's like Shrek could, if there was only Shrek 1 and 2 and they didn't do that, like, it could obtain, it could be considered a cult classic.
Because right.
People are so, you know,
right,
that resurgence that happens with certain movies that become a cult classic.
Yeah.
It could just stay that perfect cult classic, and instead you just beat it into the ground.
Yeah.
And make it so bad.
You're essentially, like, you're nixing the potential for it to ever be something that's considered one of the greatest ever. Because you think about who are the greatest, considered like the greatest ever directors, and this is, of course, up for debate, but you got the legends, like the Quentin Tarantinos, the Martin Scorsese's. Quentin Tarantino's not going to make Django 2. You know, Martin Scorsese's not going to make the new one, Killers of the Flower Moon 2.
Yeah.
It's like, They, except for Kill Bill and Kill Bill 2, but it was an unfinished story. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
You haven't seen Kill Bill.
I haven't seen it. But isn't there Godfather 2 also?
Yeah, maybe there is.
I haven't seen any of the Godfathers. Yeah.
But okay. But that's beside the point. But they're going to max it out at like 2 or 3. They're not going to come back and make Toy Story 4 or 5.
I was going to say it's planned that way ahead of
right,
time.
Right, right.
Martin
right,
Scorsese right. knew he was making Kill Bill 1 and right. 2, Godfather 1 and 2, whatever.
Yeah, so sequels in general, unless there's initially plans for the sequel right out to the gate, it just feels like a cash grab. And cash grab, you don't want the undertone of the movie to be cash grab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's not the biggest deal breaker ever, but it puts this asterisk over the movie. Even Barbie, it's like, Barbie has this asterisk over the movie, which is like, this is a huge moneymaker.
Yeah, yeah.
We are selling you stuff.
Yeah.
Come get some slot piggies.
That was the hardest thing to make my brain suspend reality from was Mattel's involvement in it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the most glaring, like, that was the part that brought me back to my real life the most, was thinking about Mattel and what they're trying to say to sell stuff.
Well, you just recently saw Founder for the first time, which is the McDonald's movie. And that one is different because that one's not made by the McDonald's Corporation. Yeah,
totally. And somehow I've eaten more McDonald's in the last month than
maybe it is made by the McDonald's maybe Corporation. It's subliminal marketing. I said that really confidently, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the company's involvement feels kind of gross. Just, yeah, I mean, just the fact this is all a move to just sell more shit, more plastic shit, more Barbie dolls, more.
Yeah.
As Toy Story comes out, there's going to be more Toy Story stuff, more. Even though I love Birkenstocks, you know, there's going to be a bunch of Birkenstock sales and Chevy cars.
Totally.
And it's just this machine that is meant to be fed.
Yeah, which to me, it's like Mattel announcing they're making movies is for sure a net negative, and then it's just like, please let there at least be some redeeming quality in here.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, still net negative. Like, I still hope that the completely independent ideas prevail, and that's an uphill battle right now.
Yeah. Well, I've said this before, but the thing that to me quantifies something as I don't even have a word to follow that. But when the work is the product, when the movie is the product, that's when it feels best.
Yeah.
And for the Barbie movie, the movie is not the product.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point.
You know, I don't know why I have all these movies sticking out in my head, but like, I also love the movie The Revenant. The Revenant isn't trying to sell you beaver skin jackets.
Oh, but that'd be amazing.
It kind of would, though.
Just creates a revival of everyone getting bear rugs and beaver hats. If you could have any
127 hours isn't trying to sell you big nasty rocks that fall on your arm.
Yeah,
if I could have any what
one wild animal wanders into your house and dies.
Oh.
But like a natural
wildebeest,
a natural good death.
Oh.
And you wanted to memorialize that
so
animal.
So you're trying to justify your rug
and wear it or make it as a
or
rug.
Or make it as a rug.
Which animal would you hope wandered into your house and died and became your rug or coat?
First off, I would kill it. I would go out of my way to find it in the wild and kill it for sport. I wouldn't allow it in my house.
Oh, okay.
I would make sure it was either a mother or a father before said killing occurred.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think it would have to be a baby turtle.
Turn it into a helmet?
A helmet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then it would be like, you know, a turtle shell is kind of two pieces. It's the top piece and the bottom piece.
Yeah.
The bottom piece would fold down into a face shield and I'd cut holes in it.
Oh, cool. That'd be a terrifying helmet. My God.
Exactly. And then I would use that helmet in battle against all the other turtles. and they would fear me. He was wearing Kyle on his head. That's the corpse of Kyle. That's the ghost of corpse Kyle.
Not Kyle the turtle. He had a family.
Yes. So I'm General Clappy, the corpse of Kyle. Feared by all turtles. Next question. What would wander into your house?
Panda bear.
Oh.
And I would wait for him to die a dignified death.
You just close your door and not feed him.
Yeah. And then after he dies his dignified death of starvation.
Of a king.
I would just hollow out all of his guts entirely. Pull all the bones out. All.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's just skinning. But I wouldn't skin him. I would just hollow him
out. Yeah, like an avocado.
I would drill a tiny little hole in the back and just
put a shop vac
in it. Suck all the insides out. So it's just this panda suit that I could wear. And then I would go to the park in the city that everyone has with the giant grass hill. And uh-huh. I would just tuck into a ball and roll down that hill and then walk back up it. And I would make everyone in the city park the happiest people on the planet because they would think that there's just a panda rolling down a hill all day.
Wow, this feels premeditated. And I think what would really happen is if people really thought you were a living panda, they would go, ah! And then they would call animal control. Animal control would come and sedate you.
No, because I would see animal control and I would go, wait. But I wouldn't talk. I would just do that like with my hands.
Yeah.
And then I would tuck into a ball and roll down the hill and they would just start laughing and go, ah, he's good.
He's we'll not hurting nobody. And then, no, what I think would happen, I mean, I like that, but I don't think that's what would happen. I think they would shoot you from 200 yards with a poison dart gun that would put you out for like a week. And then what they would do is they would pick you up and they'd be like, there's a lot of empty space in this panda bear. And then they would rip you open, find out it was a guy. And then you'd make national news as basically, what's that movie? Silence of the Lambs. You're the Panda Man, of the Lambs guy.
Hannibal Lecter of pandas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pandable Lecter.
Pandable Lecter. Man. Well, that's not how I wanted it to go. I gotta rethink my plan now.
Yeah, and then in the interrogation room, they're like, this guy's messed up. We need someone with experience to come in and deal with this guy. So who do they call?
Corporal Kyle. What was his name?
Yes, Corporal Kyle, the corpse of Kyle's.
The corpse of Kyle, General Tannenbaum.
Yeah, and so then I come in and I bang my fist on the ground and I say, you're no good. The end.
Oh, man. So, yeah, good movie.
Good movie.
Real good movie.
Yep. Wow.
Wow. Well, we
talk about some. Oh.
Oh.
There's this. I'm going to have to track down this commercial.
Okay.
There's this old Mexican cheese company that has these commercials that's this panda that causes havoc. And they're awesome.
Is that what the meme's from where the panda bear's just like smashing desks and computers?
It must be. It must be. Because, yeah.
I've always wondered what that's from.
Yeah, it's from these. It's from these old. It's like a. Yeah, I don't know how I found it, but. Dang, that's a meme now? I knew about that way before it was a meme. I knew about that like 8 years ago.
Yeah, or it's at least just like a GIF that I've seen going around. Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Wow, now I got to find the original. That sounds great.
Keep talking.
The other thing I love about Panda Bear commercials is... Oh, do you remember Kangaroo Dunkers?
No.
Oh. Darn. Well, Kangaroo Dunkers were delicious. I can't just talk by myself. What am I supposed to talk about?
I found one. We can put this over because there's no music.
Just you. Yeah, that's him.
Oh, there is music. No, now this is unusable. That would be you.
Hell yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that would be you.
Yeah. That's perfect.
That would be fun to edit.
That would be me. What a fun life, you know?
That's seconds before the poison dart goes flying through the air and hits you in the neck.
No. Well, my brain is rapidly approaching a cliff.
Yeah.
Because we've been podcasting 3 days in a row now.
I know it.
But hopefully that means our plan worked. Hopefully
I
that
really
means,
hope.
Whoa. You know what's crazy about that?
What?
That means right now, on the air, we're back home now.
I think we're traveling home now.
Oh.
I think we're at the airport right now if this actually comes out.
Oh, yeah. It's September 11th and we're flying right now.
Oh.
Oh, God.
But you know what else that means is we're free.
That also means this is the last episode of Friends with Benedict's ever.
Yep. That means we're not friends anymore.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, we never were friends, so that's
right,
probably
business,
okay.
Strictly business.
Just business partners. So, thanks for tuning in to the last ever episode of Friends with Benedict's. We're currently on a plane on September 11th, sitting next to each other, but not saying a word.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yesterday was our last day of being friends. Or, I mean, business associates.
Yep.
No, there will probably be more FWB. There has to be. We got to get to 100.
There will be more.
Probably going to take a week off, I'm guessing.
Nope. No weeks off.
No weeks off ever.
Ever.
Right. I forgot.
So.
That'd be sick, actually, if we like were that on it, that we came out with another one.
Yeah. It could happen.
It could happen. I don't think it's going to.
But if it doesn't, don't be disappointed in us.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Thanks for hanging around.
Yep.
And do all the things with subscribing and stuff.
Share it.
Stars.
I guess. I don't even like saying share it because I don't want anyone to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Share it secretly.
Yeah, share it with
share
people
it on an
that
anonymous,
you don't know.
On an anonymous page.
Yeah. Ooh, do...
Clubhouse or whatever.
What's that paper called that you like spread glue over? What's that called? Mat pasting, something like that.
Like where they make posters on the wall.
Yeah, like Shepherd Fairy, his stuff. Fairy Shepherd, what's his name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Obey guy.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, do that. Do like a street mat pasting.
Yeah.
Campaign.
Okay, sure.
Friends
do that.
Benedict.
Goodbye. Oh, any apologies really quick?
Oh,
I know one you could probably maybe throw in there.
Oh, sorry to the panda
there
that I drilled
is.
A hole in and shop vac to the guts out of. But you were on your way out anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm, oh, I got an apology. I'm really sorry to Ben Shapiro that your ego is so fragile. You had to make 2.5 hours worth of YouTube videos about the Barbie.
Did he really?
Yeah. Dude, he made 5 videos totaling well over 2 hours about how bad the Barbie movie is.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so funny because... Wow, yeah, wow. You just opened a whole box. But it's so funny how that whole world is like, liberals get offended by everything. And then the Barbie movie comes out and they're like, ah!
They said men like trucks.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
So yeah, I'm really sorry.
Sorry, Betty boy.
Ben Shapiro's self-confidence is so small that he had to make 2.5 hours worth of YouTube videos. That's really a bummer.
Dude.
And I am sorry. Oh, I am genuine. This is a genuine sorry. I'm sorry if you love Choco Tans. If you love it, that's sick.
I'm not sorry.
I think it looks stupid, but
if you love Crocs,
but you as a human being are beautiful and perfect, even with your Choco
Tan. If you love Crocs, you are from the bottom of a dumpster barrel, and it's not cute, and it's not funny, and it's not ironic. It's just dumb, and it's rubber that's going to be here until the planet turns into an uninhabitable heat planet.
I'm only going to say this because every person that wears Crocs says this, but no, dude, you can eat them. You can boil them down and eat them.
Really?
Yeah. That's what a person with Crocs would say to you. I don't know if it's true or not. It sounds like
I own a pair of Crocs and I use them occasionally, but also people with Crocs, you are the same as the Choco people. Or the, sorry. Wait.
Yeah. You
sorry,
said that, right?
Sorry, sorry, sorry. No. Oh. I own a pair of Chacos, but you're the same as the Crocs people.
Oh, yep. Gotcha. Yeah.
No more Crocs. Love of God. Sweet Mother Mary above. They're so ugly. Okay, we need to stop.
Okay, bye.
Say if you don't like this music, you don't be listening to it. You know, I'm just a dude that you know, or something similar. If you don't keep it real, can you go somewhere but here? Cause you know, we're only losing control just for a minute. Oh.